sir. My name is Louis Quinones. I'm the acting board chairman for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Can you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Yes, my name is Joseph Murillo, 136-148.
Thank you, Mr. Murillo, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, you.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is about the two alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on July 16th, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Next to him is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Louis Quinones. Again, I'm the acting board chairman, and I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Westby, and we'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Murillo and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
Sir, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from our community corrections officer, but keep in mind, the board will make the final determination whether or not you violated the conditions of supervision. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll begin phase one, and again, because there's two phases to this hearing, with a separate motion that passes from phase one to phase two, I'll begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse on a criminal reason company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number four, as demonstrated by a failure to attend substance abuse counseling with CHCCAP on or about April 26, 2018, as directed. Mr. Murillo, is this true or false?
I did not make it to the class, I did not.
So that's true?
Yes.
Thank you. So I want to make sure that we're clear. And allegation number two, violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by a failure to report to substance abuse counseling at MRC, 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about May 8, 2018, as directed verbally and in writing by parole officer Abad on May 8, 2018, you were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Murillo, is this true or false?
I did not go to MRC, it's true.
Thank you. Based on Mr. Murillo's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways or in company.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Murillo, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. And it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision will be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Westby, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly for questions and you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Mr. Westby.
Mr. Murillo was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections on February 22nd, 2016. He was arrested June 25th, 2018 by ABC staff. There were no charges. He was back in U.S. custody on June 25th, 2018, with adjusted community supervision end date of October 6th, 2018, 48 of 7 days. Current conviction, 2002, dangerous drug violation, 15 years, 9 months. 2002, drug paraphernalia, 3 years, 9 months. Prior convictions, 1998, dangerous drug violation, 2 counts. Count one, 2.5 years. Count two, 3.5 years. 1998 is Congress involved in weapons, 2.5 years. This is the second term of the DOC. CUIR score 2-1, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2000, TIS release, arrested in a current offense, reached COCD in custody. Is disciplinary violations of water, other arrest, 1992, misdemeanor other DUI, Arizona, disposition unknown. This can be restored as a G1 V1.
Thank you, Mr. Westby, and back to you, Mr. Medio. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections to reside with Isabel Medio, your mother, in Abidjan, Arizona. In August 2017, you were approved to reside at Beaver Recovery in Phoenix. On November 21st, 2017, you were approved to reside again with Isabel Medio, your mother. On January 31st, 2018, you were approved to reside at MRC, 24601 North Clement Avenue. On March 5th, 2018, you were approved to reside with Isabel Medio, again in Avondale. And on May 8th, 2018, you were authorized through the Medical Reentry Center. You failed to report to MRC where the residence was approved. So, sir, for the 48 days that you're missing from community supervision, where were you living?
I was not living at home. I was back and forth. I didn't stay at my mom's. I was trying to stay out for her birthday and my daughter's birthday and her wedding.
Okay, sir. Employment notes, it looks like that you referred to the Director of Skills Center. Looks like the last known employment was Arizona Desert Bloom in Tempe. Was that the only place you worked?
For discussed period?
Yes, yes, sir. And did you work there the whole time, or?
Well, I was on county, yes, I was going to work every day.
Okay. Well, we certainly commend you for being gainful. Programming notes, you referred to substance abuse treatment in Arizona Common Ground, drug and alcohol education. You completed this. In February 23rd, you were referred to the task random drug testing. I'm sorry, that's in 2016. February 23rd, 2016, you referred to the task for random drug testing in a sign called Plum. Your analysis results, let's see. You have several negatives. It looks like in July 25th, 2016, no sample was collected. February 24th, 2017, no sample collected. May 26th, 2017, you have positive for methamphetamine. August 21st, 2017, a positive for methamphetamine, plus your specimen was diluted. On October 17th, 2017, you had a positive for what looks like alcohol. January 26th, 2018, a positive for methamphetamine, and March 30th, 2018, a positive for methamphetamine. And this would suggest why you were referred to treatment in the MRC. We have sanctions notes that on July 26, 2016, your parole officer staffed you for failure to submit a UA. And let me kind of read down real quick, because there's a lot of staff notes here. But it seems to me to match the different programs that you referred to for relapsing into methamphetamine use. So I'm going to just kind of move past that down to near the end. By January 2018, you were testing positive for methamphetamine. January 26, 2018, with task, you were referred to MRC for sanctions. February 3, 2018, Paul McKee staffed you to CHCCMP for substance abuse programming. You failed to complete the program May 2018, SPO Renner stopped you for using and testing positive for methamphetamine in February 2018, and this is around the time that you failed to report to the Maricopa Reentry Center. So I can only gather from that short summary that you had some ongoing problems with methamphetamine. Is this correct, sir?
Yes, but February 18th, that is already completed. My failure to go to MRC was in March, something like that.
I may have gotten a little jumbled there near the end, but the last note was in May 8th, 2018. You were staffed for using and testing positive for methamphetamine, and on April 30th, 2018. I'm sorry, you tested positive on April 30th, 2018, pardon me. And then you were directed to MRC and you did not report. So, did you have a total addiction to methamphetamine, sir?
A total addiction? No, it's an addiction, but it's not a total addiction.
Well, were you addicted to methamphetamine?
Yes.
Okay. And have you been able to stay clean since you were arrested by parole staff?
Absolutely, yes.
How long have you been clean?
I was not arrested. I was not arrested, sir. I turned myself in voluntarily. I turned myself into Alhambra. I walked in myself.
Okay, I'm going to refer to our community corrections officer just to verify, and that is Mr. Westby. Did you turn himself in there, Alhambra?
I don't see the location here. It says, it just states June 26, 2018, self-surrender.
Okay.
It doesn't say where the location is. All right. It says Alhambra, our community corrections center.
Well, I do want to commend you for surrendering yourself, Mr. Murillo. I'm sure that saved some trouble for both parole staff and law enforcement. So I'll ask you again, you may have answered this, but how long have you been clean?
I was clean when they tested me there at Hamlet as well, so I've been clean for about, I don't know, 3 months, 2.5 months, 2 months.
And how do you feel now?
Okay.
Is it easier for you to stay clean just because you're incarcerated? I mean, we recognize that drugs can be available outside of the prison, so...
Absolutely, it is probably more here sometimes.
So what's keeping you strong?
Keeping me strong right now is me going to what I'm supposed to be doing at all times, going to church and believing and following and doing what I'm supposed to.
All right.
And
are you enjoying
getting out there?
Pardon me. I didn't mean to step over you. Are you attending any 12-step programs, NA or AA, anything like that?
No, sir. I have not had the opportunity to get into any of those yet.
Is that something that you would like to try?
But the 12 steps?
Yeah.
I've done those things. When I'm more focused and grounded in my church is when I do when it's more effective for me. Because I think when I go to 12 steps and stuff, what happens is I interact with people that have the same problem. It becomes too accessible or other avenues, and I don't want to meet anybody else that has the same problems that I have.
Well, I appreciate your honesty because I can respect what you're saying. I think there are some circumstances where you're with people that are absolutely committed to the program and they're keeping each other strong, but if it's coming into an environment where people are just re-influencing each other, then it becomes the bad influence that you're trying to get away with, get away from. So I hear what you're saying, and if you're saying that church community is a better source of support, that's certainly understandable.
Yes.
So what were you doing? I asked where you were living, but what were you doing otherwise for the 48 days that you were missing from community supervision?
I was going to work, spending time with my daughter. I went into prison not knowing that I had a daughter, and as of November of last year, I found out that I had a daughter, and we did a paternity test and the whole thing, and 99.98%. And I was just been trying to get to know her. That was one of the reasons why I was so scared, because it was the first time I was going to spend a birthday with her. She's 15. And I'm trying to be a dad.
So you said she's 15?
Yes. She attends the school that on my Scottsdale. I mean, Central.
Okay. Okay, so you self-surrendered. I would usually ask how you were returned to custody. Why did you decide to break off contact with your parole officer? It seems that you were on community supervision for a fair amount of time. We recognize there's slip-ups. They happen. But what was it that finally caused you to break off contact?
I went to see my parole officer, Peter Abad. I called prior to going because I had spoken to him, and I said, Peter Abad, it's my mom's birthday coming up, my daughter's birthday, and my sister's wedding. I already said that I would be the best man at the wedding. And he was going to arrest me there, and I was like, all right, we'll go from here. And he asked me to drive myself to MRC. And I called him and told him that I wanted to spend time with my mom and my family and the wedding, and that I probably would not be making MRC.
Okay.
Because I would not be able to get out and be there for those events.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members, do you have any questions for you? Yes, Ms. Woodhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. Mr. Miller, you mentioned when Mr. Quinones asked you where you lived, you said, not with my mother, just kind of here and there. So where did you live?
Sometimes I was in the shop where I worked, and I would just change clothes and shower at a friend's house and go back to work, spend time with my daughter, and I really didn't have a place where you could say I had an address. I had friends and co-workers that I would just, they would help me out, but they'd allow me to shower and take a nap or whatever and go to work.
Okay, so you slept at the shop then?
At times I did sleep at the shop in my vehicle.
Okay, all right, thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Ms. Woodhouse. Any further questions? Okay, Mr. Vanilla, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us. But this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before the board goes into discussion?
Yes. I'd like to get out there to help my daughter get clothing for her school. I have a job lined up. I have work lined up. If not with Arizona Desert Brew, there are opportunities out here as well for truck driving. I am a truck driver. I just need to get my physical done. I'm hoping to be productive in society. And my granddaughter starts school this year, and it would be awesome to see her first day in class.
Thank you for your input, Mr. Murillo. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself? Before we come to our individual votes on the open meeting laws of Arizona, so if you just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you in just a few moments with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I recognize that Mr. Murillo was in the Department of Corrections for a pretty significant sentence, and he did have a long period of community supervision leading up to his absconding. I do want to commend Mr. Murillo for working and for being straightforward about his struggles with methamphetamine. I liked hearing some commentary on his choice of community support as far as staying off of drugs. I believe with his sobriety being so fresh since his arrest, and with less than 2 months left of his sentence, he might be best served taking advantage of these last weeks to stay clean, to put together a plan for his return to the community. But that's where I'll begin the discussion.
I agree.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W1498, our discussion with Mr. Medina, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Medina was delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the Corona Razor Company, inasmuch that he absconded for 38 days in which we could not monitor his activity in the community, and was relapsing in and out of his use of methamphetamine, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Medina, your supervision has been revoked, and you will be released on or about October 6, 2018. We certainly don't take pleasure in making this decision because you're talking about wanting to monitor your daughter's transition back to school, but it's just a matter of weeks away, and so we're encouraging you just to pursue any programming that's available to you in these last weeks to put together a plan for your return to the community. When you're released, there'll be no parole officer, no community corrections, and you'll be free and clear to pursue your own interests. So, just please stay safe.
October 6th, right?
Yes, October 6th, 2018.
Okay.
So that's less than 2 months away. And we hope for your productive, safe return to the community and for a loving return to your family. This hearing is ended. No further discussion may take place, and we'd appreciate it if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.